Hi, my name is Anuja Vaidya, and I'm an assistant editor with Becker's Hospital Review. Today, I'll be joined by Deb Muhesky, founder and CEO of HealthStar Partners. Hi, Deb. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
To kick things off, Deb, could you tell us a little bit about your background and career in healthcare?
Yes, thank you for that question. Yes, I've been the CEO and founder of HealthStar Partners for the last 21 years. And what that's involved is leading organizations through transformational change. And most of the work has involved working with hospitals and also large health systems who are going through a turnaround situation or mergers and acquisitions or working with health systems who are on the other side of a transaction and assisting them with integration efforts. And all of this work has been from the seat of a regional CFO or chief operating officer. And I've had the privilege of working around the country in for-profit, nonprofit, and also faith-based organizations.
Fantastic. So lots of experience there. So today we're going to discuss how clinical leaders can enter into decision-making discussions at their organizations with confidence. So Deb, to kick things off again, I'd really love to hear a little bit about the common themes that you are seeing as you work with hospitals across the country. You know, what are you seeing in terms of clinical leaders in those decision-making discussions?
Well, what got me interested in this topic is seeing a common theme in so many different health systems where we'd be at the executive table and we would be talking about financial planning or work around integration efforts or strategic planning or strategic repositioning in the marketplace. And we'd have these very smart, intelligent, experienced clinical leaders, CNOs at the table. And I noticed that quite often they were silent during some of these discussions. And so it got me interested because I continue to see this in different organizations as to the why behind that, because I believe that they had so much to offer. And so it really stimulated my interest in getting to know them better and understanding their background and perspective, and not only what they had to offer, but why they weren't necessarily sitting fully up to the table and engaging in the conversation.
Absolutely. And that's interesting too, given, you know, obviously the base of everything that hospitals do comes down to its clinical leaders. That is the basis of, you know, any hospital or health system. So Deb, why do you think clinical leaders might have difficulty in getting their voices heard in the C-suite? You know, what are some of the roadblocks they are facing?
Well, what I've learned from talking with different clinical leaders is I think that it's the background. They wouldn't naturally come up through finance or strategy or operations necessarily because their background is learning how to care for our patients. So their background is obviously clinical. And so I think that in some ways during those conversations that it puts them at a disadvantage because they may not have had exposure to some of those conversations or even the nomenclature.
Absolutely. And that can definitely cause quite the hurdle to overcome. So, you know, for clinical leaders who kind of want to get more involved in those decision-making discussions without feeling as though they don't know the nomenclature or just aren't maybe able to express themselves in front of some of the other leaders that they have to talk to, what are some strategies you think they can employ to overcome those hurdles?
Yes, one of the things I have found to be really helpful with clinical leaders is to be able to know your numbers. And so they have to have a baseline to start from. And what I've recommended in a number of health systems is for those clinical leaders to partner with someone in finance. And I've actually done this with them in creating learning circles and a safe environment where people would have an opportunity to ask whatever questions came to mind. But they could do the very same thing with a controller or a senior financial analyst and sit with them and ask all of the questions, you know, the verbiage, anything that they're not certain of. And quite often a good starting point is with any initiatives that they are currently working on. You know, with so much change in healthcare that's been, it seems like, ongoing for quite some time and into our future, there's always a list of initiatives that different health systems are working on. And clinical leaders need to be able to partner with operation folks and also financial leaders. So being able to find a helpful person in finance that can partner with them, I have found to be really helpful. And most of these individuals that I've seen, you know, like in, if they're a controller or a senior director of finance or an analyst, quite often they're in a back office operation. Most of them are thrilled that someone has come to visit them and is interested in learning about, you know, the financial operations. And so most clinical leaders will find a willing partner to assist them, to work with them. And having a finance person not only sit down and go through some of the metrics and how they can make a difference, how the clinical leaders can make a difference in influencing the numbers, but having a financial person take some of those metrics and plot them in a graph over a 12-month or 13-month rolling metric average, it can give the clinical leader some additional information so it paints the story and helps explain the story in a different way than just talking about the numbers. So definitely partnering with finance and being able to find a leader in that department to be able to sit side saddle with and ask questions.
Absolutely. And I'm, you know, the more you can work together, you know, the more that one can make really comprehensive decisions that are beneficial for the entire organization. So Deb, I'm curious, what are some of the most commonly asked finance related questions that you've heard from clinical leaders?
Well, they usually start with whatever initiatives that they're working on. And so that's unique to each health system. But some of the common themes are, it may be around nomenclature, really understanding what EBITDA means and why that's important. How do you calculate that? How do you influence that number? Or what's an operating margin and how do you calculate that? I've had a number of clinical leaders be really interested in revenue cycle and understanding really what is revenue cycle from the full continuum, whether it's from pre-registration all the way through zero balance, and how the clinical piece of that has a contributing component to revenue cycle and how they can influence that. I've also had folks ask about different metrics, depending on the health system and what types of metrics or scorecards that they utilize in some of their leadership discussions, why those are important and how you calculate them. And one of the things that I've consistently found, regardless of where I'm at with clinical leaders, is they're always interested in learning. They want to understand why and how they can make a difference. And so I think that we really have the opportunity to bring them into the fold and contribute to the conversation.
Absolutely. Definitely sounds like a great learning opportunity for clinical leaders and a way to kind of come into the fold more on those discussions. So, you know, when organizations are trying to support their clinical leaders, what more can they do to make sure that those voices are being heard?
I think that it starts with, obviously, the organizational culture, but also with the senior leadership team. They may not be aware that clinical leaders are not necessarily participating if they haven't participated in the past. So asking them to participate, asking them for their opinion, creating a safe environment where people can ask questions if they don't know or are not certain so that they have the opportunity to contribute. Also creating education for clinical leaders that are interested in learning more about the business side of the house, I think is important. I mentioned briefly learning circles. Basically, anyone can do this in an organization where they can create an unstructured learning environment that creates a safe culture and environment where people can come together, where there's not necessarily a PowerPoint presentation, no one's at a podium. It really is a circle. And being able to create an environment where they can have a discussion on a specific topic and ask whatever questions that they want to ask. And so those are some of the areas that, depending on the organization, that they might want to employ to be able to give clinical leaders a greater voice at the table.
Fantastic. Some great strategies there. Well, thank you so much, Deb, for joining us today. And thank you all for listening. For more podcast interviews, visit beckershospitalreview.com and click on the multimedia tab. For podcast inquiries, email dfreeman@beckershealthcare.com. Until next time.